welcome to the Entertainment Dog for the week of April 16th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley. Alongside me is the lovely, talented, and tax-free Melissa Hansen.
Hello!
So what has your week in entertainment looked like?
My week in entertainment was walking around Charleston, South Carolina for my mother's birthday.
Well, that's entertaining.
It was entertaining. We went on like the tour and got all the historical information. It's a beautiful town.
So what's the big attraction of Charleston? What's their big money-making attraction?
Big money-making attraction? Well, probably just the tours, because there's so much history there. And then there's plantations nearby.
Okay.
Like a little bit out of town. And Fort Sumner is on the island, just off. So they do take you out there in a boat and take you on a tour of that and stuff.
Gotcha.
So just all the history, really.
Well, that's cool.
It was a beautiful town.
We are both in the Carolinas this week. Melissa is south and I am north as we have reestablished our East Coast base of operations. So.
Woo!
Yes, exciting.
That sounds way more exciting than it is.
Yeah. Shh! Don't let that sit in.
Okay, it's so cool. We are like bi-coastal and all fancy and I don't even know.
Anyways, my entertainment week hasn't been all that exciting either. I finally got caught up on the last three episodes of Community.
Mm-hmm.
But, they kind of reinvigorated the whole pillow fort, blanket fort thing.
Oh my gosh, some people didn't like that one.
Yeah.
I think I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Go watch a PBS documentary and then watch that. And it was spot frickin' on.
Yeah, they even had the guy who sounded kind of like Morgan Freeman or Paul Winchell. No, Paul Winchell.
Whitfield?
Whitfield, yes. The late Paul Whitfield.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Yeah, the whole Civil War type atmosphere.
So great.
Yeah. And then John Goodman kind of playing both sides against the middle.
He's a great addition to that show.
Yeah, he is. And it's so subtle. And he just slips in and then slips out. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a feeling it'll pay off in the season finale, but we'll see. Yeah, so that's been my exciting week. But there's been a lot more excitement going on at the box office this week.
There has been. So Hunger Games, of course, was number one, but not by much. $21.5 million, and Three Stooges came in at just over $17
million. Okay. So the critics hate this thing. I mean, as we all expected, but audiences are loving it.
From what I'm hearing, if you were a fan of the Three Stooges, their actual, you know, shorts and movies, you'll be a fan of this movie.
Unbelievable. This is the Farrelly brothers who gave us, Something About Mary, who have done this. And I don't know, the minute I saw the trailer, and I was a big Three Stooges fan growing up, but the minute I saw the trailer, I'm like, I want nothing to do with this thing.
It's just, and at first I thought it might be more of a biography of them, and that could be interesting, but it's not. It's just like a redo.
Yeah, modernization.
It's different storylines, you know, of the kind of typical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, get themselves in a bind and then smack each other around.
But here's the thing. It worked great in 6, 7, 8 minute formats. But when you stretch it to 90 to 100 minutes, I mean, come on. They did that at the end of their career with these terrible, the Three Stooges and Hercules and the Three Stooges Go to Mars. It was awful. Those things are just terrible.
Right. So, I don't know. Fans are liking it.
Whatever.
Overall, it's not my kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the real Three Stooges, you know, what they did, but I'm not going to sit and watch them all afternoon. But anyhow, slightly behind that, rounding out the top three was The Cabin in the Woods.
Which I have not heard a bad thing
about. Surprising. And that was just under $15 million, so it's definitely in there. And Titanic, $11.5 million.
Okay, are you ready for this little wrinkle?
What?
Titanic in 3D has just broken every box office record in China.
Hello.
Because it opened up with a $58 million premiere.
Wow.
So James Cameron is a god in China.
And in his own mind. Anyhow, moving on, riding on the top five, American Reunion, which is over 10.5.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, coming up this week.
Real big surprises there.
No.
And I'm sure it'll actually be fairly similar next week.
Yes, because there's not a whole lot on tap this coming week. This is one of those dead weeks. And you know it's so when Zac Efron's Marine Love Story is the biggest release.
Yeah.
So it's called The Lucky One. And let me see if you believe this. An Iraq veteran returns home to find the woman he believes to be his good luck charm or he's trying to find her, right? So he had this woman apparently who had written him or something. I'm not sure what the details are, but he's trying to find this woman who supposedly got him through three tours of duty in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you buy Zac Efron, A, as a Marine, and as a guy who's been through three tours of duty in Iraq?
No. I actually like Zac Efron. I think he's a decent actor.
Yeah, I do,
seems
too.
Seems like a cool person. I like him.
In a musical theater kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. But even other stuff he's done. That's fine. I have nothing against Zac Efron.
Yeah.
But no. And no. And whatever third thing you want to add, no.
Oh, okay. Next up, Think Like a Man, which is actually Steve Harvey's book on relationship advice, which somebody said, hey, this would make a great movie. So,
yes. And then they sobered up and it was too late.
So
and contracts were already signed.
Apparently so. And I guess it's kind of like a Tyler Perry-esque romantic comedy.
That's what it seems like.
But it's directed by Tim Story, who gave us those two terrible Fantastic Four movies. So you draw your own conclusions there.
And also, I mean, the cast in this
is
kind of who's who of African-American actors.
Oh, is it really?
Some bigger names.
Okay.
Especially women, Regina Hall, Taraji P. Henson, Gabrielle Union, but Chris Brown is in this.
Shut up.
Which, not like I was going to see it anyhow, but gives me even more reason not to see this.
Oh, brother. Talk about legends in their own mind. Yeah. If you are a fan of more traditional, kind of old school, maybe 80s romantic comedies, there's a movie called Darling Companion. Mm-hmm. Which stars Kevin Kline and Diane Keaton and Richard Jenkins and Diane Wiest. It's a story about a woman who loves her dog more than her husband, and then the husband proceeds and then the husband proceeds to lose the dog.
Oh,
but it's funny because it's written and directed by Lawrence Kasdan, who helped write the Star Wars franchise, who helped write Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's a bit of a switch.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting cast. It's a great cast.
It is.
I mean, Kevin Kline, I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah, definitely not a movie for...
Amazing actor.
Oh, he is. He's awesome. And I think in recent years he's done more stage work than he has film work.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is one of those throwback films that is definitely not for modern audiences, but, you know, for everybody who loves those actors, you know, you're going to want to seek this out. Probably more in art house theaters, I would suspect.
No, that sounds interesting. I would see that before Zac Efron or Chris Brown.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
I'm sure some other people will too.
Yep. And then one more to celebrate Earth Day. Disney Nature has another one of those feature-length documentaries that's coming out. This one's called Chimpanzee. It's about a 3-year-old chimp who was separated from his family, which I guess they call them troops.
Okay.
And they wound up being raised by a completely different, fully grown male chimp.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so you know that's going to draw people in and make a boatload of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to go see Hunger Games again for the 17th time, you go right ahead.
Sure. And I'm sure there are many people that are and will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're not going to the theaters, we can check and see what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. If you go to DVDverdict.com and click on the upcoming releases tab and go to the cover art gallery for April 17th.
Okay. Well, I get to watch my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Who?
Because 19 Kids and Counting season 4 is out on DVD.
God, those people never go away, do they?
No, because there's so damn many of them. Where are they going to go?
Wow.
Please.
Wow.
Make a small city all by themselves.
The biggest release of the week is probably the most surprising movie of this past summer, which was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Yes. That really was a great movie.
It was fantastic.
It wasn't even just like a great Tom Cruise movie or a great action movie. It was just a great movie, period. I really enjoyed it.
Well, and it was one of those things where I kept sitting there looking at it and things would happen. I'm like, no way. No, like the sandstorm? I mean, there was stuff in there that we had never seen before.
I actually liked Tom Cruise in this movie.
Which
this movie made me like Tom Cruise again, which that is an unbelievable feat.
Credit Brad Bird, and this is his first live-action film.
Yeah, he did amazing with it.
It was awesome. So you're definitely going to want to check that out, even if you hate Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's still worth it.
Let's see.
Yeah. Well, talking about nature and chimpanzees coming out, there's a couple coming out on DVD and Blu-ray. There's Frozen Planet,
which we've reviewed quite highly. I mean,
yeah, it's one of those big mega sets.
Yeah.
That have been doing really well the past couple of years. But there's also an IMAX movie, Born to be Wild, which is wild animal things.
All the Earth Day type stuff.
Yeah, yeah, all that's starting to come out.
If you're a fan of classic kind of late 70s, early 80s TV, Eight is Enough is finally getting its first season released on DVD.
Why is that so delayed comparatively?
It must have been a rights thing, I would assume.
Yeah, it must have. I think it's other stuff that's out.
Yeah.
But, wow. There's a whole bunch of Sean Bean's, I don't know if it's like a show or series of movies, but Sharps.
Oh, you know, Dave Johnson really loves that series.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Sharps Battle and Sword and Honor and Gold, and a whole series of them are coming out.
Nice.
This week, so.
And I didn't realize
Sean Bean not die like he does in every single movie he's in. It's worth the price of admission right there.
But I didn't realize he was in Ashley Judd's new series, Missing.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
I didn't know that.
Well, we'll see if he dies in that, too.
Yeah, maybe.
If he's like the most killed actor in work today.
More than like Clint
Not
Howard
kidding.
Or...
he's died in like 40-some movies.
Oh, my God, that's insane.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. It is kind of a slow week for releases. But, yeah, there's plenty here to check out, and Verdict always benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages and clicking through and purchasing if you so desire, because we do get a kickback. So thank you very much for your patronage. Let's head over to streaming and see what your options are in the non-physical media form. If we go over to Netflix, because The Avengers is on its way, which had its premiere in Los Angeles this past week, and everybody who was at the premiere, I think the word awesome was thrown around extremely liberally.
Oh, I'm sure.
Which,
how could it not be?
Well,
just the people in it and the amount of action. And.
But to be honest, my bullshit meter has just kind of been off the chart on this one. I'm just like, I'm a big Marvel Comics fan. I've enjoyed the first Iron Man movie. I loved Captain America. I liked the Louis Leterrier Hulk. But everything about this movie has left me cold.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an awesome experience.
Well, maybe. I liked Thor, too.
I did, too. I liked that a lot, actually.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But every Marvel animated direct-to-DVD release is available to you on Netflix this week.
Wow.
So if you want to get caught up on any of your Marvel backstories, this is the place to do it. The other thing that's happening in huge, tremendous waves, and I think this happened, we talked about this a couple months ago, is music releases. There are a buttload of music releases this week. So Paul Simon, Korn, Ray Charles, Jay-Z, Phil Collins, The Beatles, Jefferson Airplane, Steely Dan, Marvin Gaye, Tori Amos, Wu-Tang Clan, Cream, Queen, Isaac Hayes, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Grateful Dead, Jethro Tull, and there's a lot more than what I just named. So.
Wow.
If you're looking for concert films, if you're looking for music documentaries, head over to Netflix because you have a buffet of things to choose from. And then the other thing, the latest addition to Fox's Sunday animation lineup with the voice of the great Kristen Schaal is Bob's Burgers. The first season is available on Netflix this week. So there's that. Heading over to Hulu, American Pop, which is another Ralph Bakshi creation from 1981. It's kind of a sister piece to heavy metal. So it's that rotoscoping kind of music, visuals, you know, experiential, smoke some pot, get high, watch these movies.
Okay.
That's kind of that.
Sounds like my kind of night.
The Hunger, which is another one of those kind of 80s, 90s anthology-based series that kind of played in syndication as opposed to network. But right. This one's hosted by Malcolm McDowell. And, of course, it's based on the David Bowie, Susan Sarandon, Catherine Deneuve movie, which was like that erotic vampire thriller. But it's just – it's a series of disconnected stories from week to week, and it's pretty much crap. You can read Clark Douglas's review to – you might want to stay away from that one. But the other big release on Hulu this week is their Criterion Collection is awesome. and I have not spent enough time going through it. But
yeah, they've got it all.
Oh my God! If you love film, you need to spend some time over there looking at these bucket list type pictures that you may have never seen. This one is Federico Fellini's. I think it's his third picture. It was Vitelloni. I'm going to screw it up. My Italian is not so good.
Oh, I'm worse than you, so I'm not going to help you. Sorry.
This is 1953. It's about five young men who are transitioning from, kind of reckless youth into adulthood and all the responsibilities. And Dan Mancini had a great review of it on DVD Verdict, so you might want to check that out before you watch it, or watch it and then read Dan's review afterwards. And then over at Amazon Instant, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur or beforehand, because the three that I'm featuring this week are all pre-release physical media that you can watch now on Amazon Instant. The first is God Bless America, which is a Bobcat Goldthwait movie.
Okay,
I wondered where he went. But it's kind of a Bonnie and Clyde meets Natural Born Killers. It's an unlikely couple, an older guy and a teenage girl, who are kind of fed up with the state of America as it is today. So they kind of team up and start murdering reality TV stars and racists and idiots. But it's Joel Murray, Bill's brother, from Dharma and Greg.
Oh, yeah. Bill's brother. Brian Doyle's brother.
I mean, most fans will recognize him from Dharma and Greg. But he also stars alongside an 18-year-old named Tarlin Barr, who's kind of a fresh face. She's got a very short resume. But this should be interesting, because Bob has a very interesting take on things.
And, yeah, he does.
Yeah. Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope, is a documentarian Morgan Spurlock. And he takes you inside the hell mouth that is the San Diego Comic-Con. And trust me, I've been to it 6 years in a row. And this was from 2010. And it's been playing to smaller audiences in previews in Los Angeles. And everyone seems to really enjoy it. So you can check it out now on Amazon Instant. And then the other pre-release is called Badass, which is Danny Trejo playing a Vietnam War hero who's sort of shot.
Now, that's a military guy, I believe. That's
this is
fantastic.
True. This is true. Think of this as kind of Walking Tall meets Michael Douglas and Falling Down, right? So he's a guy who's kind of fed up because the world has no use for him until something happens to a friend of his on a bus and the police don't want to do anything about it. So he kind of takes justice into his own hands, and his entire neighborhood gets behind him as kind of the guy who's going to clean up the streets.
Excellent.
Yeah. So there's actually a lot of stuff out there compared to what's in the theater. So if you're looking for good entertainment, it's all online or on DVD. But that's all I've got. How about you for TV?
Okay. Well, over in TV, there's really not much special. This week, we've kind of all of the mid-season shows, even though there's like a month left in the season, have started. But there is one amazing thing, I think, happening. Sunday, Fox's 25th anniversary special.
I heard about this.
It's a two-hour special because Fox has been around for about 25 years now, which is just scary. I remember like Beans Baxter and...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyhow, the cool thing about this is they're, going to show clips from all their big shows and all kinds of stuff, but they're going to reunite the cast of That 70s Show, Married with Children, Beverly Hills 90210, The X-Files.
Oh, my God.
Like, Kiefer Sutherland's supposed to be there, Calista Flockhart from Ally McBeal, and of course, Seth MacFarlane that, runs half the channel now.
Yeah, that's true.
But this should be big and cool. And just seeing, the big thing I think, and a lot of people are looking for, is like seeing Married with Children, cast back together.
Yeah.
It should be pretty interesting.
But I mean, think about that. So you've got Ed O'Neill, and Katie Sagal, and Christina Applegate,
right,
who have all become huge.
Right.
And then you have Bud Bundy.
Yeah.
I mean, David Faustino has done a few little things, but not anywhere near what his co-stars have.
No, he hasn't. But it should be interesting to see them kind of all back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we forget how groundbreaking, too. I do. Fox was. I wasn't a big fan of Married with Children, but it really was a pretty groundbreaking show.
Pushed the envelope there, yeah.
Yeah, Absolutely. And then, of course, X-Files. I'm excited to see who shows up for that reunion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there's not much going on the rest of the week, but Sunday night should be very interesting.
Cool.
And the music this week, there's kind of some bigger acts that have just coming out. Jason Mraz, well, bigger acts in my mind. I like them all. Maybe not to you guys, but Jason Mraz, new album, Love is a Four-Letter Word. Is dropping this week. Train's new album, California 37.
Oh.
Is coming out. And then Eric Hutchinson, Moving Up, Living Down.
Why don't I know who Eric Hutchinson is?
Okay is All Right With Me.
Oh.
It's this big hit.
Okay.
And it was a really great album. I think he's good. And I think the three of them are kind of probably have a lot of similar fans. I'm fans of all three of them.
Okay.
But the other thing, and we didn't mention it, it's also on DVD too, Tremé.
The HBO show.
The HBO show set in New Orleans with John Goodman, speaking of John Goodman earlier. That talk about somebody who's working a lot. Yeah. Season 2, the music soundtrack is coming out, but it's also coming out on DVD. So, and then there's a lot of real people writing recently. Tavis Smiley.
Yeah.
From NPR and PBS.
Yep.
He and Cornel West have a new book, The Rich and the Rest of Us, a Poverty Manifesto, which should be very interesting. I usually am kind of in line with Tavis Smiley, so I may be looking into that. But other, Vanessa Williams and her mother, Helen Williams. Okay, this has got to win for, like, longest title.
What?
You Have No Idea. A Famous Daughter, Her No-Nonsense Mother, and How They Survive Pageants, Hollywood, Love, Loss, and Each Other.
That's right, because she grew up in the Miss America pageant syndicate.
Right, well, yeah, Vanessa Williams had the big scandal.
That's true.
So anyhow, it's basically a memoir of Vanessa Williams, but she wrote it with her mother,
nice.
Too. And speaking of memoirs, Ricky Lake has one. Never Say Never, Finding a Life That Fits. And the cool thing about this, even if you're not quite a Ricky Lake fan, John Waters does the foreword for her.
Shut up.
So I haven't read it, but that, at least that part's going to be interesting.
Nice.
And another thing that I care about, so I get to talk about it, HarperCollins Publishers is reissuing a whole mess of Agatha Christie.
Ooh.
So new paperback versions of all kinds of her stuff and some of her Tommy and Tuppence stuff and just her regular novels and all kinds of things. So if you're a fan of hers and don't actually own them, you might want to check out the new versions.
And if you're a big fan of hers and you haven't seen the Doctor Who episode that has Agatha Christie in it.
Yeah, The Wasp and the Unicorn.
Yes, I'm glad you remember that. I'm very impressed.
Are you?
I am.
Yes, I remember Stahl. I ain't Domes.
But it was the Doctor and Donna Noble, so it was season 4.
It was quite an excellent. It was kind of a stupid episode in some ways, but it was so much fun seeing that portrayal of Agatha Christie.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really a fun one.
Yeah.
And then in New York, this week a new play opened at the Longacre Theater.
Okay.
Magic Bird.
Oh.
And it's Magic/Bird.
You know, Dave Johnson mentioned this on Filibuster a couple weeks ago, and he's like, what the heck is going on with this?
I got to listen better to that. Sorry, guys.
Because it's Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
It is. It's starring Kevin Daniels as Magic Johnson and Tug Coker as Larry Bird. And it is all about their rivalry and their friendship and just all those years of playing. And the cool thing is, I guess there's a huge screen in the background that shows actual footage of them playing.
Huh. So it's kind of like Frost Nixon in a way.
It's exactly like Frost Nixon. Exactly. So but that just opened this week.
Nice. So,
something a little different there. And then I have another theater announcement for people in Chicagoland.
Yep.
Theater Nebula, May 11th through 27th at Cutting Hall in Palatine.
Which I have done shows there before.
Yes. And they are presenting the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged.
Yes.
Really fun play. And it is starring our very own Patrick Nagle.
I wasn't sure where you were going with this at first, and then it dawned on me. I'm like, well, good for you. I'm glad you're promoting his show.
So, yeah. So fans of Verdict in the Chicago area, you should check this out. It would be fun anyhow, but with Patrick in it, it is going to be hysterical. I promise you. He is a great writer, and he's such a talented performer,
he
too.
Yes, he really is.
Honestly, I'm not just saying it.
No.
So definitely check that out. Like I said, May 11th through 27th, and you can find information online. Theater Nebula, Cutting Hall in
nice.
Palestine.
Very nice.
So that is the biggest news of the week.
Okay.
Is there anything else happening in entertainment? I mean,
I think there was a couple high-profile people who got engaged. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Brett and Angie. Well, she's like made a rock on her finger. So we'll see when they actually get married.
Yeah.
But yes, they are officially engaged after, 7 years and 6 kids?
Oh, my God.
Something like that.
We do have some sad news to report because the story has kind of been going downhill fast. And it may be outdated even by the time you hear this, but one of the BG brothers is in rapid health decline.
Yeah, Robin Gibb is in a coma. He has had a bunch of health concerns in the past few years.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is quite serious.
Yeah.
So there will only be one BG left.
That's right.
Once he passes.
Which is really sad because these guys were not old gentlemen when they passed away.
No.
In really bizarre news, and if you haven't heard of this, you must have been living under a rock somewhere, because Mel Gibson... I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on with this man. So his big Jewish apology project was going to be this historical recreation of Judah Maccabee and the whole the Maccabee thing.
Thing.
I mean, it has to do with story? Hanukkah and the oil that
the
burned.
The story
for,
of the Maccabees,
yes,
and Hanukkah.
I know.
Miracles.
Yes.
Yes.
So it blew up in his big, stupid, racist face this past week because Warner Brothers had hired Joe Esterhaus to write the screenplay.
Which was really great idea to begin with. I'm sure that would have worked out really well.
The man who gave us Showgirls is writing a movie about the Maccabees. What the heck is... So apparently it didn't pass muster. They didn't like his script. And then Joe and Mel started trading back and forth insults online through the Rap, which is an entertainment website, and it's just like, oh my God, and it wouldn't stop. It kept going and going, and it's like, well, you guys shut up. You're only making this worse. So yeah. It's just huge embarrassment. You know, when you think about how people perceive Americans.
Right. Gist of it, that Esterhaus is saying that Gibson said horrific things.
Yes.
Like horrible racist things, but also like horrible things about killing his ex-girlfriend and like just, yeah, the claims Esterhaus is making are big.
But again, why should this surprise anybody? Because this man has been mentally unstable now for years.
My favorite part of this whole story, though, is TMZ or somebody caught Mickey Rourke, and Mickey Rourke's like taking Mel Gibson's side.
No.
And saying he's just an easy target and he's sure Esterhaus is lying and all kinds of stuff. So like Mickey Rourke has gotten himself in the middle of this somehow, which I think is the best part of the story.
I love the paparazzi. That's one thing I miss about living in LA is the paparazzi is just to walk up to random people and ask questions and then they show it on TMZ.
Yeah.
Like you have a comment on everything, like, hey, Tom Bergeron, what do you think about Britney Spears? Like, what the heck?
Exactly, and that's what they did. He had a bunch to say about it, I guess.
All right.
So Mel Gibson has one fan still, so that's great.
Himself? Oh, no, Mickey Rourke. Okay.
Mickey Rourke.
All right, so there's two.
If you're going to have one fan left, I mean, it might as well be Mickey Rourke.
Unbelievable. In other rather unsurprising news, Leonardo DiCaprio and Warner Brothers have secured the right to Dennis Lehane's new novel, Live by Night, which doesn't actually hit bookshelves until October.
Dennis Lehane, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, I know.
And he wrote Gone Baby Gone.
Yep.
Which Ben Affleck turned into a movie.
Right.
And he did a great movie, actually.
Shutter Island.
And yes, and that's the other thing. So he's written a series of books about Boston private detectives, which Gone Baby Gone was, but he also has written a bunch of other very interesting, Mystic River, Shutter Island.
Right.
You may not know his name, but you know his work because so much of it has been turned into film.
there's not much of a synopsis on this story, but what I've read is it kind of focuses on a young charismatic gangster and kind of his rise through the ranks in Prohibition America.
So like real gangster, not like gangsta.
No, 1920s kind of glamour violence. Yeah. But there was another interesting story about Leo this week in that he's shooting Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Django Unchained, which is a period piece. It's set in the 1800s. And Jamie Foxx is this bounty hunter. So the scene was Leo was in handcuffs, like vintage heavy handcuffs.
Okay.
And there was an altercation between him and Jamie Foxx, so this fight scene. And Leo was concerned because these handcuffs were hurting, and he was worried that they were going to get in the way in the middle of this fight, and somebody was going to get hurt. And Quentin's like, don't worry about it. We're going to do it my way. You know, let's just do one shot, and we'll do it, and then we'll see how it goes.
That was pretty good.
So he does his one shot, and Leo gets the handcuffs smacked under his chin, and he winds up cutting his lip open, and then he just blew up at Quentin. I mean, went crazy.
I think if I spent more than five minutes with him in a room, I would blow up at him.
So apparently they had to take the rest of the afternoon off. So he had to get cleaned up and make up, and they had to, you know, kind of cover up the bruise, and then went back and shot it again in a more, shall we say, civilized manner. But so that's interesting. A couple other things. I know we're running along here. Muppets co-writer Nick Stoller has revealed that the recently greenlit sequel to The Muppets is going to be a crime caper in the same vein as The Great Muppet Caper.
Good.
Because he loves that movie.
I like it.
Yeah. And Gary and Mary, who were a big part of the first movie, are not going to be a part of the second one because their story's done. So they're going to introduce some new characters and have some more fun with this.
Good.
So, and then one other thing, Bill Murray, who was so dead set against undoing Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
He was doing interviews before the Cubs home opener a week or so ago in Chicago. And
because he threw out the first pitch.
Yep, and
ran
the
bases. All the bases.
Which nobody knew what he was doing. He's such a nut.
Where is it going? Well, it's Bill Murray. Just let him do whatever he wants to do, and you know it's going to be funny.
Yeah. But he, in one of the interviews, he was asked about it, and he seemed to indicate that it was still a possibility for him.
Nice.
So if Ivan Reitman and Dan Aykroyd are smart, they're going to jump on him and get him on set, you know, to do this right away before he changes his mind.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah. So that's all I've got for news this week.
All right. Okay, well, I have Kardashian news, which I'm telling you, people, this is so easy. Like, finding Kardashian news, I had to pick. Between two. Like, I'm saving one just in case there's nothing new next week, but there always is something new. But this is Odom news.
Yeah.
Poor Lamar.
Yeah.
He had, like, been dropped down to the whatever D-League or something in the back, but he is, like, done in Dallas. He is not playing. So, and he and Chloe just, like, got a condo, and they just started shooting down there, and so we'll see how that affects the show, because that's the most important thing. Forget, like, the real job.
Right.
What about the show?
Yeah, because that's where they're going to get their money anyways. They're getting paid to do their own reality show, which is probably filming all this as we speak, you know. All the drama is being captured.
Oh, yeah. So this is what the next season will be.
Which, and I can understand, you know.
Problems in Dallas.
What a distraction it is for the Dallas Maverick players and families and coaches and all that stuff to kind of have this swirling around you.
Yeah.
You know, it's one less thing that you need to worry about when you're in the middle of trying to win basketball games.
So anyhow, we'll see. Chloe was the TMZ or whatever caught her at the airport and stuck a microphone in her face, and she alluded to the fact that maybe he'll come back to L.A. Playing. I mean, they'll live there, but...
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week with more fun and excitement. In the meantime, you can always send us feedback if you so desire at mstaley@dvdverdict.com or
mhansen @dvdverdict.com. And feel free to correct any of our pronunciations.
Yes. Yes.
Really, any week you feel free to do that.
Right.
Because I'm sure we mess something up sometime.
Yeah, my Italian wasn't so good today, so I'll have to work on that next time. Do you have any parting words for us as we exit this week?
I do. Ciao, Cito, baby.